Another thing I want to ask you about before we get into sort of some of the new developments in the field is the classification. And I noticed that now, I guess that starts to lead into the trials, but it looks like now it's based on transfusion dependency or not.
Exactly.
Why did that happen and what does it mean?
Okay. First of all, you have to know that thalassemia is a recessive disorder, okay? So to have an affected person, he must or she must inherit two defective genes, one from the mother, one from the father. If we stay on the beta thalassemia setting, you have to know that within the beta gene, there are more than 350 known mutations. Some of them are very severe, causing a completely shutdown of the gene function, and they are called beta zero mutation. Some are called beta plus because they affect the function of the gene, but actually there is a residual activity of the gene, so means that some beta chain are produced. So among 400 mutations, you can imagine the many possibility there are, because a subject can inherit, for example, a beta zero from a father, a beta plus from the mother, or both are beta zero, or both are beta plus. So for clinician, using the genotyping was a mess because they see all these genotypes, what they mean. So more recently, under the supervision of Professor David Wetherall, who unfortunately passed away a few months ago, and he was really the father of thalassemia, a group of experts decide to provide a more clinical classification based on the transfusional need. So we have a kind of error. At one extreme, there are those who are just a carrier, so they are considered as a normal subject, just having a very mild microcytic anemia. And usually they are the parents of the patients and they don't need any clinical support. But on the other extreme, there are the very severe ones, those who to survive require to be regularly transfused, which means to receive monthly from 2 to 3 units of blood. In between these two extremes, there is a huge spectrum of different genotype combination. The mild form are more close to the simple carrier, and they actually may survive with an hemoglobin level of 8, 9 without need really to be transfused. In the middle, there are patients who may require to be transfused in some circumstances, for example, viral infection, hemoglobin drop, they require transfusion, surgery, or any comorbidity who cause a drop of hemoglobin. So this is really a gray zone where you have all these patients who are named non-transfusion dependent thalassemia. And this kind of classification is now becoming quite convenient for clinician, especially for adult clinician. And I'm glad that I'm targeting an audience of adult physician. Why I'm saying that? Because thalassemia, till few years ago, was a disease almost completely cared by pediatrician, because these patients were not surviving longer than 20, 30 years. Now they are surviving much longer, so they move from pediatric setting to adult setting, but very often the adult physicians are not ready to receive them.
What is the usual cause of death in these patients?
In the past, it used to be iron overload. Although they were chelated with desferrioxamine because of poor adherence to such a demanding treatment. Can you imagine every day a pump, 8 hours a day? Compliance was very poor. So till a few years ago, the main cause was heart failure due to iron overload. Now this is very well overcome because of new iron chelator, but unfortunately we are dealing with other cause of that. One is hepatocellular carcinoma or cirrhosis due to, again, possible iron load in the liver plus hepatitis C infection, which wasn't treated in the past. Or still we don't know, but even if the iron was removed from the liver, but the persistence of fibrosis can be a, let's say, potential cause of development of cirrhosis, and they may die for evolution of cirrhosis to hepatocellular carcinoma. Beyond that, of course, these are patients that even surviving longer, they survive, as I say, now they survive on the fifth, some even during 6 decades, but they are very fragile patients, so they are exposed to any other possible disease to which is exposed the general population. But whenever they are affected, let's say cardiovascular disease, endocrinological disorders such as diabetes and so on, they of course have a course of disease more severe, and they may die for this reason.